Johnny, great to get down to your stables here. It looks magnificent. It's a big operation. You've got day yards and we're in your main barn here and we're looking at who could be the most important girl of your weekend. Who is it?
Old Hummer, yeah. She's just got back from the beach. It's her last week with us. She'll go to Adelaide on Saturday and run the Proud Miss and then she'll come home for a day or two and then she goes off to the Gold Coast for Magic Millions. So she'll head up there to be sold as a broodmare. Obviously, 14-time group performed mare. So yeah, hopefully she can do it once more.
Gee, the family's been so good to you. Do you get attached and a little emotional when you say goodbye?
Oh, not usually, but she's just been such a tough, honest old mare. Yeah. She's a lovely old mare to do anything with. She's got a few little quirks, but. Yeah, she's been part of the family. She's been here for a long time, so it'll probably be a little bit bittersweet to see her go. But yeah, she's been very good for us, and hopefully her two younger sisters that we've got, Tycoon Hummer, who's already stakes performed, and the Zoo Star Yearling Filly will replace her.
Can she go out in a winning night, the Proud Miss?
Oh, she can. You know, look, she probably was ridden a little bit close on last Saturday in the Sangster. She was the only one of the four horses that were on speed that actually stayed anywhere near the winners. So, hopefully the track holds up over in Adelaide and she'll be in the finish of it, I think.
She looks nice and happy in the hose bay there, just getting a little hose down.
Yeah, she enjoys the beach and coming home. So, she gets a little bit impatient now because it's time for a feed, but... she'll be out in her yard shortly with her mate and she'll relax for the rest of the day.
Let's have a little a wander through here. How many horses have you got here, John?
There's 33 here in the main barn and then there's another 9 in the barn down the front. And then we've got horses at Lauriston and doing beach work and dressage work and Foreman Park on the water walker. So they're always rotating through. So. They only spend their nights in here. They work in the morning. They get settled up and work in the morning from the barn, and then they go out into the day yards outside, and they spend all day outside. They come in about 2:30 in the afternoon, and get to spend the night in here from there.
How long have you been here?
About 11 or 12 years, 10 or 11, 12 years, something like that. I started out. In 2003 on my own with my business partner Brent Clayton, and we rented a property off Lee and Anthony and Michael Friedman and Richard Friedman. And then we bought this property ourselves and built this place. Brent is a plumber by trade and he obviously designed it and set it all up. So yeah, we built here and been here ever since.
Do you like training on this Mornington complex and the Mornington racetrack?
Yeah, look, it's a beautiful place to train. It's a good lifestyle place. Obviously, I'm an avid golfer, and we have the good golf courses down here, and partial to a beer and a wine, and we have nice wineries down here. But for the horses, they get to live a horse's life. They get to go outside all day, and you can hear the cockatoos who are a pain in the backside, but they're here all the time. The stables themselves are a good setup. It's a very workman setup. The facilities we've got here with the Mornington racetrack are very good. And then obviously we've got the beach available to us, which you've just seen Hummer and Kip Keeter and Drone Strike coming back from the beach this morning. They've been down at Balnarring and had a bit of work down there. We've got the water walker at Foreman Park, we've got Lauriston Farm and stuff like that. So yeah, plenty of good facilities and the horses are just happy. You know, they're not locked in a box all the time. They get to spend their time out with their mates doing what horses do.
Well, we've just walked outside here down to where the day yards are and you can see the horses. They're all so alert and they're fucking their brands off, some of them.
That was Twain's Express that you were videoing carrying on before, and she does have a few quirks. So, if you come back here during the day, and especially out the back where the colts are, it's very peaceful. And during the day, they come home. You know, I come back to do a bit of work, and most of the horses are asleep. when they first come out here after they work, they have a bit of a kick around and they eat their breakfast, they have a bit of a sleep and then relax for the rest of the day and then usually get up and have a bit of a kick around just before we bring them back in.
You come from a pretty diverse background. When you were lacing up the boots under Sheedy down at the Bombers, was this what you envisaged you'd be in your career?
Yeah, well, I always knew I was going to be a bit of a horse trainer than I was footballer, so I had to have an outlet there. So, yeah, look, I was always going to be a horse trainer, so, yeah, this is probably what I envisaged. Just wish that I'd been able to get a kick before I did it, but this is what we wanted to do. So yeah, with the help of Brent Clayton, my business partner, and his family, we were able to set it all up.
You weren't just a footballer, were you? You were a pretty good amateur boxer. What was your boxing record?
13-1.
So, it's not bad.
The one wasn't much good. It wasn't much fun. But yeah, no, we didn't mind holding the hands up. So obviously too old for that now. So. Yeah, well, horse training's a lot. We're getting attacked by a dog now. Horse training's probably more what I'll set up for. So, growing up on the farm, so yeah, happy to be able to have a setup like this and hopefully train plenty more winners.
And you mentioned the time you spent with the Freemans, but you also spent a fair bit of time overseas. How did that shape your training?
Oh yeah, I mean, I was always taught that if you're going to do something, learn off the best. And so yeah, spent time overseas in England, Ireland, America, and New Zealand. And I was foreman for Graham Rogerson, Tony Vassell, and the Freedman brothers. So worked for John Sadler. Worked on some big name studs, so was lucky to get a grounding, get a look at a lot of different sort of techniques of doing things, and then learn a few of my own techniques, and it does help to get your career going. My grandfather always taught me that you can learn something off the stupidest bloke in the world. If you just shut up and listen, you might learn something. So no two horses are the same, so you might see a bloke doing something a bit strange and think, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen, and then you'll get a horse and it works for them. So old Bricktop might be one of them. It's always good to get around and have a look and see how other people do it.
Is there a trainer that still sticks in your mind, whether it be overseas because you spent time in the States or in Europe, that you think, gee, that was a trainer who was ahead of their time?
I was lucky enough to spend a few weeks with Dwayne Lucas, and I probably learnt more about training my two-year-olds from how he trained his quarter horses than anything. I still say that Lee Freedman was probably the best placer of horses. He identified horses early in their career that were going to be good, talented horses. Tony Vassell, when he rode them work, he was probably one of the best judges of when one was right. So you learn a bit off everyone. John Sadler, he always had his horses right on the day when they were having a bet. So, you learn a bit off everyone. Roger was a great businessman, but probably the time I spent with Dwayne with his quarter horses more than anything probably helped with the way I trained my two-year-olds.
Well, you've got a really good strike rate with your two-year-old. So without giving away all the secrets, what kind of methods did he employ?
It's more about keeping them mentally and physically fresh. We probably don't work them as hard, and they actually go out to the paddock for in the middle of their prep. But they'll have a gallop, they'll go to the paddock for a few days, or they'll have a trial and they'll go to the paddock for 4 or 5 days and then come back. It's just more about, with the quarter horses, they have to keep them very, very fresh because obviously they only run the short distances. That's probably something that we modified a little bit, and it does help with the two-year-olds.
Yeah. American racing's been in the headlines in recent days with the Bob Baffert situation. Do you keep across all that stuff over there? And I suppose the drugs that they use and aren't allowed to be used over here. What's your thoughts on that type of stuff?
Oh, I think we're better racing not using it. And most jurisdictions in America are now cutting it back. The use of Bute and Lasix in races, whilst it is controlled in America, it's not something that I think's great for the look of the sport. If we can be completely drug-free, then that's great. Obviously, we keep across the big racing in America and stuff like that. And I suppose it's good to see them clamping down and trying to make it like we are in Australia, as clean as possible.
Is it true that when there's a big stallion who's going nuts, that they can't control, that they bring in John McArdle to try and calm him down?
Used to, not so much these days. So I'm probably a bit past it now, but yeah, I used to do a bit of stallion handling. So
how would you calm down a stallion that's going nuts?
Well, the myth of it is people think it's because I'm big, but they're a lot bigger than me. Try not to pick a fight with them, try and make friends with them, and you just work out their little idiosyncrasies. They've all got little quirks. They're like humans. Some of them are bad-tempered, some of them are misunderstood. It's just working those out, and it's the same as training a horse, just working out his little quirks. I spend a lot of time with them hands-on and wandering around them out here and sort of learn what they like and what they don't like, and that's how we try and make them run.
Is that a lot to it? Like, you stand out here and you study them and you try to find personalities and what they may like to get the best out?
Yeah, it certainly helps. I mean, we're obviously a smaller stable. We don't work like the bigger stables that are, probably don't have the time to do it. But, I spend a fair bit of time out here wandering around them, and, I handle them myself and bring them in. Obviously, I'm a touch large to be riding them these days, but I spend a fair bit of time with them and just sort of learn, which horses are highly strung, which ones are quiet, which ones are extroverts, which ones aren't. Some like different things and some don't. You just sort of learn their little idiosyncrasies, and the fastest horse is the happiest horse. So, that's pretty much what we try to do.
Who do you reckon's the best horse you've got at the moment?
Hummer, obviously, standing just over there. But we've got a nice bunch of two-year-olds coming through. Her younger sister, Tycoon Hummer, is obviously quite a good horse, but La Rock, I think, is the best of them. She's just come back in. She's had two starts. She's won them both. She won the Thoroughbred Breeders. But the colt that he ran third in the Anzac Stakes, not beaten far. He didn't handle the wet track in the sires over in Adelaide last week, but El Rocco, I think, as a three-year-old out over a trip and with a set of blinkers on, I think you'll see quite a handy horse.
Do you set yourself goals? If there's one race you could win, what would it be?
I always said that if I won the Cox Plate, I'd retire, but I don't think my wife or my business partner would be overly happy if that happened. Well, they'd be happy we won, but probably not so happy that I retired, because I'm a pain in the backside when I work, let alone when I've got nothing to do. So, that's probably the race that I've always wanted to win. Weight for age, the best... The best 2,000 motor horses in the world, but basically I want to win as many races as I can and the biggest races I can.
Speaking of the wife and the business partner, it was a pressure-packed week for you, and you came to the fore. You tipped the RSN listeners into the winner earlier in the week, which was owned by the Better Half.
Yes, owned and bred. She's actually La Rock's full sister, so she's a full sister to a Group 3 winner, and she's won 3 out of 9 now. So her future's probably more as a broodmare than a racehorse. But, it's always a lovely thing training for the wife. I get plenty of advice and, you're told what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. But fortunately, she told me not to run her on Tuesday and Monday. And I said, no, it's the right race. And I pulled rank. So that's why the pressure was on. I would have been in all sorts of trouble if it had gone pear-shaped. But fortunately, we got smiled on and things went the right way.
Oh, very good. Do you have a little bet now and then?
Oh, every now and then we have a couple of shekels fall out of the side of the pocket and we hopefully get lucky.
Any shekels falling today? You got a couple of runners at Pakenham?
The two-year-old hasn't got a run, I don't think. They haven't told me it's got a run. Fashion Guru, I think, is a horse that we're just trying to get a guide on him, but he probably hasn't shown us enough to be betting first up. Miss Sarasota's a talented filly. She's probably 6 months off. She's just hasn't quite furnished yet, but I was happy enough with the first up. 1,400 suits. It's probably a stronger race. Of the three of them, she's probably the one that I'd have something on each way.
Right. Hey, Johnny, great to catch up in your home environment. It's a beautiful place here. The horses are just absolutely loving it here, and why wouldn't they? Best of luck today and for the farewell for Hummer Hummer over there as well.
No worries. Thanks, Morrell.